Welcome to Influential Visions. Here, we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. My name is Nathaniel Schooler, and I am your host today. I still smile. I'm trying to get used to the woman at Zoom still saying that to me. This meeting is being recorded. So today I'm very privileged to be joined by Tyler Cohen-Wood, and she's actually a keynote speaker, former Defense Intelligence Agency Cybersecurity Deputy Chief and Senior Intelligence Officer. I'm just reading this because it's a long title. Internationally recognized cybersecurity authority, an author, and a blogger. And I noticed you were also previously the director of cyber risk management group at AT&T as well, which I think
that is correct.
Yeah. So we're going to talk basically about cyber threats and risks in the new world order, with obviously COVID-19 right now and beyond that, because I know you know a huge amount about this kind of stuff. And, you know, I think to start with, it would be quite helpful to talk about what people can do to secure their kids and the non-techie kind of family members.
Well, first off, thank you for having me on your show. And this is such an important time, and these are such important questions, because we are suddenly in a living a lifestyle where we're at home, and parents are now homeschooling their kids while trying to work from home, and kids are not allowed to do their daily activities. And it makes them more susceptible to going online and more susceptible to predators who, unfortunately, they are out there and they are taking advantage of this situation, and they're going after kids more now because the opportunity is there. So it is extremely important that you know what sites your kids are going to and who they're talking to, and that you really sit and have conversations with them, letting them know, you know, keep me involved with what's going on. And you want to do it not as something that's antagonistic, like don't talk to this or this person or that, but you want to do this with them, and you want to go through various checklists for things that they can look for that would indicate that someone is not actually who they claim to be.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time setting up my daughter with an iPad, right? So it's annoying because you get bombarded with requests for app downloads. Yeah.
Yes.
However, it's very, very good because it means that you're in control of what apps are on that device. And you can, so for example, you know, I let her have YouTube, but I have, she has YouTube for kids. Okay. So, you know, I'm perfectly happy with that. But now she's actually worked out how she can create her own Apple messages. So now she can send me messages, which can disappear. She can record voice messages, which disappear. Mm-hmm. The worry that I have, I mean, she's 8 years old. She lives with her mother. The worry that I have is that she may be able to receive messages from somebody else. Yeah. So I know her mother monitors this device very well, and I know that also Google has their own kind of methods for Android. Is that right?
Well, yes, and Apple does too. There's safety measures, and there are also a variety of tools that you can put on the devices. But you're right. I mean, there are things that are going to get missed. Now, I will say this: it's kind of in a way good that your kids are there with you, because one of the things that kids can do is they can use someone else's phone. They can use someone else's account. They can use their friends' devices. Well, that's not really happening so much right now. So now is a really good time to be having these conversations with them. And play the games with them. See what's allowed in the games. Maybe you have a game that's for kids and you're sharing animals, but it's possible that there is a predator out there who is playing the game too and knows how to manipulate kids. So play with them. Do activities with them while we're all at home.
That makes a lot of sense. But it's still difficult to protect them and also protect other family members, because obviously, you know, we've got a heightened level now, haven't we, of security, right? So how do we kind of educate them to not click the links? I mean, we're all kind of worried, aren't we? So it's difficult.
It's extremely difficult, and especially right now where people are scared. This is a life or death issue, and people are very afraid. Like I had said, they're now homeschooling their kids, they're working from home, and we just don't have contact with people in a physical sense, and people are already worried. They see the news, they watch one news station and doctor says this, and then you flip the station and you get the exact opposite thing. So people are already, they're worried. And when people are worried, they're not at their 100% best. So we're more apt to fall for scams, whether we're technical, whether we're not technical at this moment, because scammers are very good at what they do, and they are taking advantage of this, and they're putting things out on social media or all over or into emails saying, you know, that this is the latest and greatest information. And you may think automatically, oh, I need to have this, but try to take a step back, take a deep breath, and go back to the tools that you've learned through security awareness training. You know, look at the URL, make sure it's going where you think it's going. Don't click before you really think about it, and make sure that everyone else in your family is doing the same thing, because when you panic, you're just expending so much energy and you're more apt to fall for phishing scams or anything that is in social media posts, and you just want to be careful. You want to really think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, so what they're really doing is, what we want to do is we want to prevent the cyber threats, and we want to look after the management whilst we're working from home. But they're using psychological warfare, aren't they? Because they understand that we've got a heightened sense of stress, and we're very tired. We're running on almost double time. Some people, like, we need to, I think, take breaks, like take regular breaks, try and just have screen breaks for as long as you can. Yeah. You know?
Yes. You're 100% right. I mean, you have to take these breaks, and you have to try to do things, get out, go for a walk, or do something, have activities that are fun, like play games with kids, do something that gets your mind off of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Otherwise you're going to go crazy.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's a very, very difficult time for everybody right now, but people even use this psychological warfare to get you to click these phishing links. And when we're talking about a phishing link, we're talking about something that is an email. It looks like it could be a real email from one of your customers or one of your providers. And what they generally do is they extract information from you, right? So that email will look like it's come from them, and it will ask you about a specific invoice that may actually be real. Like, you don't know, because they're very, very good at this stuff now, right?
They're extremely good at this. They comb through social media. They look at your patterns of behavior. They look at the things that you like to do. They look at where you work. They can very easily figure out what the email addresses look like. And you, like you said, you could get something that appears to come from the CEO of your company, but if you really look at it, it's maybe there's a letter that's out of place, or there's an L instead of a one, or a one instead of an L. So you really want to think, and I would actually say be kind of ultra paranoid during this time, because there really are a lot of scammers that are taking advantage of the situation. And, you know, like you said, this really is, it is psychological warfare. And when you play on people's fears, it just creates the perfect setting for a catastrophe with business, or for you to click on something. You're just so much more susceptible right now. And yeah. I have to say, I mean, this entire pandemic, the COVID-19, and information, some of it may be accurate, some of it maybe not. Maybe we don't know certain things, so we're not always getting the right answer. I'm just saying, I know this is a real thing, but if I was a nation state actor, I would be taking notice of how much panic is being caused by what's going on. And if I did not know this was real, I know there's a lot of people that think it's a conspiracy theory, but you know, it shows you just how big of an impact social media actually does have on our global sociology, economy, education, really everything.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're talking about a state actor, you're talking about someone representing a country or a political party, is that right?
But not only that,
or something different.
A hacking group that's looking to make money. I mean, this is
right. And you're basically talking about using misinformation in order for them to either hurt people, inconvenience people, or make money. Is that
exactly.
fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I know working from home right now, it must be very difficult for people in the accounts departments, because they're the ones who could, in essence, they could run a payment, right, for 200,000, yeah, or 300, 400,000. If the CEO sends them an email, yeah, saying pay this account because the invoice is due, all they need to do is push that button and that money is just history, right?
In any instance like that, pick up the phone and call your CEO and just verify. It's just an additional step.
Yeah.
And usually phishing, spear phishing, it's based on fear. It's trying to get you to do something immediately, because if you don't, something terrible is going to happen. And again, take a step back, take a deep breath. And if it comes from someone and it seems out of character, because people's gut instincts are pretty good. Yeah. And if it feels weird or out of character, just pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, so when we're talking about catfishing, that can be in all elements of your life.
Absolutely.
Right? That can be dating, it can be business, it can be all areas. And these people just do it because they can, right? Like, there's no specific, is there a real reason behind it? Like a psychological thing that they need someone to do something? I don't understand them.
Oftentimes it's about money, or it's about being able to get full access to your computer and then traverse into your network to be able to exfiltrate information about your business or your company to either hold you from ransom, hold it for ransom, or expose it or sell it on the dark web.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's difficult. They prey upon the weak, don't they? And the uneducated, unfortunately. And, you know, it's a very, very difficult thing. I mean, some people just pretend that they're people completely different to who they really are, right? If you knew who they were, like, you'd be like, why am I talking to you even? Do you know what I mean? It's
Well, I mean, I'm so happy you brought that point up, because people, oftentimes make the assumption that catfishing is just with dating, but it's not. It really is social engineering. It's what makes up phishing. It's spear phishing, these targeted attacks.
So it's spear phishing. It's a very targeted approach to catfishing. Is that what that is?
Yes. Yes. So like, for example, someone may know, your CEO, they're going to target them. They know that they have where they live because they can look it up online. Those are public records. Maybe there's a bunch of articles written about them on hobbies that they have, things that they like to do. And, you know, perhaps they craft some type of attack directly relating to this person's hobbies or, you know, something that they're likely to fall for. So they're really going after, and whaling is when that's whaling as well, when they're going after the big fish.
I understand.
But spear fishing is targeted directly to you or your organization.
Right. That's interesting.
Well, and there's just so much information out there about us, and it's very easy to put together a profile on someone just based on their social media profile. And also a lot of information that's out there about that person. You can easily ascertain the types of words they use, the phrases that they use, the way that they type, who they're typically with, what location they go to, you can where they work, and you can just continue piecing together all of these pieces from open source information and from social media or things that other people post about you.
Right, I got it. So right now, people and businesses are more at risk now than ever before, right?
Yes.
Because of this pandemic, and people are stuck inside. Yeah, so the criminal minds who would normally maybe go out and like rob someone at knife point, they're stuck. So they are. I mean, let's be real
about
it.
That is true.
So what they're doing is they're trying to figure out ways they can manipulate people, and they will extort money. They will blackmail you. They might pretend to be a woman and you know, extort money from a guy because they record a video when something naughty goes on or whatever, right? Like there are many, many ways that they can do this, yeah?
Absolutely. And I'm so happy you brought that up because that's a huge point. When you're working from home, now understand, we went from a lot of people working from home to activities that we do now in our daily lives that are now going online too, such as, you know, going to the doctor or other, it's all now televisits, and we are now doing things, we're shopping online more, we're ordering things online. We're utilizing this, and there's an added drain on what is being on the internet basically. So that's another very interesting thing that you want to look for, because you may be tempted to say, oh my gosh, this is so slow, I just have to get this out. And you may be tempted to disable security settings. Don't do that. Do not do that, please.
No. So you're talking about virus protection, aren't you? And that was a point I was going to bring up, yeah? Because you see, if I get an email, right, and it looks like a phishing link, yeah? Mm-hmm. I'm a bit stupid. So I will just, what I will do is I will go to the sender and I will look at where it's come from, and I will take that domain name, and then I will put that in my browser. Yeah. I have a very good virus protection. So it will go immediately. It will stop that activity. Yeah.
Yes.
And I will see that it's fake. Yeah. But a lot of people, they will just click the link, and they won't have virus protection, and then anything can happen, right? But it isn't just the virus protection, is it? Because, mm-hmm. for example, accepting Facebook friend requests,
yes.
Like, I was interviewing a chief information security officer in England. Yeah, and he actually is very well renowned in the cyber sex space. He actually hacked the government sitting outside in his car on his laptop. Right, I don't think they were very happy about this. Yeah, however, he just did that to prove that he could do it, basically. But so I'd been interviewing him for something that I was working on. And basically what happened was I got a friend request from, I thought it was him, okay, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. At the time I had my website open, I was in the back of my website doing some work, some development work. And I accepted his friend request and my website was immediately killed on immediately within 15 seconds. My entire website was wiped. And it was dead, right? So I was like, so I learned very, very quickly how to restore my website from a backup because my web hosting company has a rolling 30-day backup, yeah? So if anyone hacks me and kills my website, I can, if I really want to, I can renew it very quickly, yeah? So it's kind of like you need to make sure you back up your stuff, right? Like I've got like a BitLocker encryption on my drive.
Right.
I have a rolling backup that runs 30-day rolling backup on another two drives. Yeah. Like, and if I want to, I'll back that up to the cloud as well. Yeah. So it's like, are there other things that you would recommend people do?
Yes. Actually, I'm very glad you brought this up. Because I just want to make a few things clear. If you do download something that pops up as malware or you see it start traversing your system immediately, and make sure you know your IT people's policy on this, but most of their policies are going to be you immediately take off the battery, remove the plug, any type of connectivity, you want to shut that off immediately. And if you don't want to do memory forensics, and right now with everything going on, it's probably not all that likely, just take out the battery off the laptop, pull the plug if it's a desktop computer. You want to do something immediately to stop that from traversing your system and being able to get into the rest of your company's network. And wow. You also want to keep in mind, if you do click on some kind of link, and it's not ransomware, it's another piece of malware that's on your system to take control of your system so that they can see what you're doing via camera, via keyloggers, watching everything that you're typing. You want to make sure that... you understand if something like that happens just by using a VPN, that is not securing your connection to your company, because if the hacker has full access to everything you're doing, they can see the passwords that you're typing in, giving them credentials. So you really want to be cognizant of that. And one other thing, you want to be really careful IoT. So if you have anything that potentially is recording, like Alexa, Echo, any of your personal assistant devices, some of the vacuum cleaners have recording options, TVs, you want to move all of that onto a guest network or a separate network from the network that you have your work laptop on. Also, do not let the kids use your work laptop. Your work laptop is just for work. I know it may be tempting to use social media or whatever. Just use it for work. And, you know, use your personal laptop or something else for your social media and for everything else that you do. And the same thing goes with your phone as well. You want to be very careful, especially if you're using your personal phone now for work. If you want to talk to your IT department to see if they have a tool that can help segregate the personal stuff from non-personal stuff. But even so, you want to make sure you know what your apps are actually doing and what they have permissions to. So I recommend having a date with your phone, a glass of wine. We're all home now anyway, and go through and see what every app has access to, because you may be really surprised.
Yeah. I think that would take me like 4 or 5 hours. Like the amount of apps that I've got on my phone, yeah, it would just take me forever, right? But the thing is that I'm not like, all right, I have a podcast, I work within a few businesses, yeah? But at the end of the day, I'm not, all right, someone could come after me and victimize me, yeah? But I'm not really anyone to bother with. Like, I'm just a guy who's getting on with his day, yeah? But there are other people who are far more important than me. And also, use like two-factor authentication, right? Like you become an easy target. Like if all your passwords are the same, yeah, you're an easy target, right? Like don't be an idiot, yeah. Like if someone works out one of your passwords and it's the same for everything else, like come on, guys. You know, I'm not saying you have to write them down somewhere, because you can use, you know, a password tool that remembers them. Yeah. Obviously, that's another security risk, because everything's a security risk. Every app you download, every website you visit, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything you do is a risk, right?
But the more, I'll get back to your first point, but the more you do to to protect yourself, the more layers of security that you add on to it, like you said, multi-factor authentication. Yes, there are ways of getting around that, but you have that. You also know exactly what your apps have access to. You have your wireless settings to never auto-join hotspots or wireless networks, to always ask you before joining.
Yep.
You know, separating your work network from everything else on your devices, you make yourself less of a target. But I disagree. I think you are important. Everybody is, and everybody has something to lose, whether True. It's reputation, whether yeah. it's financial, and it is not difficult for hackers to get into a social media account and think about the damage that could be done to reputation.
Yeah. Well, that's why you need to check where you're logged in as well. Like, you know, like if you're in Facebook, right, and you look in the back of Facebook and you're logged in to like 7 different devices, yeah, and like 3 of those you don't even know, then you could be in some serious trouble, because they're monitoring everything that you're doing, right? And mm-hmm. But the problem is, it becomes more difficult the bigger your network becomes, because then there's more and more risk, right? Like yes. That's why I love Twitter, because Twitter is it seems more secure than Facebook. Yeah, but let's be realistic about it, right? Mm-hmm. If you know what you're doing and you're really good at hacking things, you can hack anything you want. You can hack an iPhone, you can hack an Android phone, you can hack a network if you really want to do it, right?
Yes. And not just me. I mean, there are tools out there that you can buy for a couple of dollars on the internet that will allow you to have ransomware as a service. You can craft it yourself. There are tools that my puppy could probably type in a couple of keys or paw at and make something happen.
Yeah. But the whole point is that you can minimize the risk, right? Like you can just watch what's going on, minimize the risk, and, you know, main thing, just get your home virus protection, right? I mean, that's the most important thing, far as I'm concerned. And if anything weird happens, just turn your machine off, right? Turn your machine off, wait a little while, and then If it isn't actually some sort of ransomware and it's just something a little bit weird, if you've turned it off, generally that sort of fixes things. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Well, not always, because if if you're talking about if you're not talking about ransomware or some other piece of malware, you know, that's if it's downloaded onto your system and executed and kind of starts behaving in a certain way, you're going to have to get that cleaned up.
Right.
And,
yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the occasional thing like glitches and stuff, because we can get paranoid, right? Like,
yes.
excuse me. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I had a girlfriend a few years ago, and her ex-husband, right? Seriously, this is crazy, yeah? Her ex-husband, like, basically worked for a really big bank, yeah? And he was, like, head of global architecture, right? And he basically, I don't know what happened, but my devices were just hacked all the time, like, for, like, 2 years, yeah? And touch wood, pray to the man upstairs, I don't really have any problems these days, yeah? And it was just, like my iPhone kept crashing, like... I had messages being read in my LinkedIn all the time. I had emails that were read and disappeared. I had like you have no idea. Like, it was a complete victimization. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is. And wow, that's
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't nice, and I don't want to be going through that again. Thank you very much.
No, no. And you know, that's kind of one of the problems. If someone is targeting you, they're going to continue to go after you and after you. This is for companies too. If they are specifically targeting that, they're going to eventually find a way in, but you will see attempts. Attempts will show up to do some sort of reconnaissance, but someone really is targeting you, they're going to eventually find a way in.
Yeah. So you need to be prepared, right? Like, and have a communications plan. I mean, I did an episode with a very experienced comms PR professional, like 30 years PR. She handled like some sort of security breach for a charity a few years ago. So a very good episode. If anyone's listening, you should go and check that one out. I'll try and drop the link somewhere, but it's like three episodes back or four. But it's like, you've got to have your plan, right? So if you think it's going to happen, which chances are it may happen, you need to be prepared that when it happens, you've got to notify the right people. Yeah. Yes. And you've got to have a plan, and then you've got to throw the plan out, and then you've got to create a new plan, right? Because it's never the same plan. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that, you want to execute the plan, but now I think it's more important than ever to actually have a cybersecurity incident response plan for your family and for your home network too. You know, this is what we do in case of this. And I know this sounds probably very, very crazy, but make sure you have it on paper, because if your network goes down, you want to have the numbers that you're going to call, all the, you know, the credit card. You want to have all of that information in one place on a sheet of paper.
And then you want an old telephone where you put your finger in it.
Seriously, I know. So cybersecurity is just so crazy. It really is. Finding that balance between taking the wheels, the steering wheel, the engine, the seats, everything out and off of the car, and, well, no one's going to steal it, but you can't use it, between that usability. So it's really finding that sort of middle ground. And I'm not saying that everyone has to be as paranoid as I am, and, you know, a lot of other cybersecurity people are, but you just want to be thinking about these things, because we now have moved to a position where we are very reliant on the internet.
Yeah.
I would almost say we are, I don't know, I'm not great with giving statistics out or making them up, but I would say we are now about 90% reliant on the internet.
Right. So, I know we've got 5G coming on, and that's another conversation for another day. Yeah. But
yes, I would love to talk about that.
But I bet you would. But what about internet service providers? Do you think they're actually doing enough to actually secure the communication network, like the landline, you know, kind of, you know, the fiber and whatever?
Right. I think that yes, there are a lot of things that are being done, and there are a lot of things that happen way behind the scenes that, you know, we just don't see on an everyday basis. But the problem is, this kind of happened really fast. And we now have moved to, like I said, roughly 90% all internet. So now you have so much more traffic. You have so many more new, what are called zero-day exploits out there, which is code that has not yet been defined, or a signature has not been created for it to detect it. So we're just seeing more and more and more of these types of attacks on a network. So these efforts just have to be upped. Really up the ante, and they're doing it as quickly as possible. But I mean, you're fighting time.
Right, got you. Well, you've been absolutely fantastic spending some time talking to me about this, and you've got a book, haven't you, that people should buy, right? If they're worried about like catfishing, what's this book? You showed me the cover earlier.
Sure. Is this backwards?
No, that's perfect. Catching the Catfishers. So that's a super book, I'm sure. And
it talks about, it goes through very easy checklists to help determine if who you're talking to or your kids are talking to are who they say they are. But it also talks about security. It talks about different applications and what types of things they may have access to. So it really is not just protecting kids, but it's protecting families and businesses.
Yeah, yeah. No, I actually downloaded an app called Jumbo recently. Have you heard of that one?
I have, yes.
Yeah, and what it does is it tells you which applications are doing what. So if you plugged into Facebook, for example, or you've got Google, or you've got Twitter, or you've got whatever applications you want to plug into, it tells you what they're actually doing. Yeah, I like that. And I think there's going to be a lot more of those in the future, really.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's kind of, instead of having a date with a glass of wine with your phone, that's like having a couple of shots and just taking a look and say, you know, hey, party.
Well, thanks so much. That's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Thanks for listening. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections too. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thank you.